a lot, but usually they pop up and then they're not persistent. It's not they don't turn into Hawaii or anything like that. They just kind of wash away. I remember seeing those going clear back to Weekly Reader in grade school. I've seen that happen a lot, you know. But
fascinating.
Anyway, it might have been. It probably was. I remember seeing a story like that at least 10 or 15 times in my lifetime.
Andrew Kramer, you got anything to say? You say, Gene, it takes a while to connect?
Hey, he's muted again, Bob.
Oh, I muted him. Okay.
He's open now. Hello?
Yes.
Any ideas from this session?
Fascinating bits. The first bit was really all about the difference between what I would say cognitive psychology and determinism, or what would be that? I can't think of the branch of psychology. In other words, choices.
You mean behaviorism? Right.
Thank you. Yes.
Hey, Bob, yeah. I on the last little bit, I got the impression that the Evergreens were saying something effect that McVeigh was in a bad place, like he realized he'd really screwed up or something like that. But
yeah, he generally thought that he was saving the country. He's like Vinny, you know. They get confused and they go after something because they've got an ideal. They want to retrieve a proper condition for America. And now, like, he's probably totally isolated, and all the friends he did it for don't even care about him, and he's pissed off.
Okay. Now, was this recorded after they toasted him, or was he still alive?
No, this is September 99. Let's look it up. When did he die?
I don't remember.
I can look it up real quickly. This is the young guy, the first guy, not Terry. This is Tim.
Yeah, Tim McVeigh, the main guy.
Yeah, McVeigh.
I have a question.
June 11, 2001, so it was two years later he did.
So he was still alive when they reported that. Okay, I was wondering if that was something, you know, metaphysical, that he was getting shit, you know, wherever he was, but he was still here.
Yeah.
And he was definitely getting shit while he was still here from all sides.
Yeah, and he was pissed off.
Yeah.
He got abandoned. The tragedy of youth.
Go ahead.
Said the tragedy of youth. Misguided youth.
Yeah, exactly.
I got a real kick out of when Bobby said it's a distraction from the distraction.
Right, yeah.
But then when you talked about God showing up, will there need to be a distraction? Is that how it was?
I can't remember. I'd have to really listen to that.
The memes. The new
That's
memes.
What I was just going to say.
Listen, were the new distractions.
Right. This is the new idea I got. God is the 100th monkey effect. So the 100th monkey effect is when it goes through the species and the later forms don't have to experience something to be to know it. So you could say, he says, God's the 100th monkey effect. At a certain level of creation, the whole species gets it, and that becomes a hidden, unified ground, so to speak. Then it fragments and goes and builds another ground. So the image is that God is the unification of a trend of a meme, and when everybody gets it, that's God, that's unity, and then it breaks away, and then there's a new thing. So each plateau is a God, or 100th mean is the God phenomenon. That's a whole new idea about that.
Fascinating. Because a theme I'm picking up with Ion lately is that he says you make it become familiar, and then it's not a big deal anymore. Then
right.
You incorporated into your beingness, and you don't think about it anymore.
The principle that when it's obsolete, everybody's doing it. So
yep.
When it gets the 100th monkey effect, everybody in the species gets it, and it's obsolete and everybody does it, but it's no big deal. And then something new that's a big deal starts to grow, a new hidden ground. Then when it clicks into everybody, that's like everybody gets it together. That's God, the whole picture, the whole connection, and that's the next cliche. And that's what McLuhan said, from cliche to archetype. God is an archetype, that conditioned.
And new gods are being created all the time.
Yeah, new grounds, new environments by new hidden effects, like Iandom is a phenomenon with new technologies creating a new ground that will hit critical mass. What's Gladwell call it? Missing point, turning point, tipping point. The tipping point is the point when, well, Iandom is well recognized, and I'll be bored shitless. I get one award after another doing these old fogies who claim they knew I was right all along, and they'll be giving me these fucking awards, and I'll be avoiding that scene. But that's where you get recognized, and it's a cliche, right?
Well, we're your...
And you can't change it. Once it's created, it can't go away.
And we're all sucking up you, and so we're the 100th monkey. I mean, you're...
No, you're the fifth monkey, the 22nd monkey. This is the growing period where it's not being noticed.
But that goes on for you all the time.
Yeah. But this iron thing is what's going on, and it's going to become a meme, a locked in, a given, guaranteed environment, a part of our history, just like Newton became part of history, Einstein did, the atomic bomb, you know, they get locked in. But when they were, and that's what my other chart is, it's about, you know, every 20 years there's something growing that nobody notices. And Pynchon tries to describe that in his novels. You know, like in, I have in my chart 1918, I think it is, to 1945, nobody knew that computers and the bomb were sneaking up on people.
Yep.
Now, is this expressed in the Emerald Tablet?
That's a good question. Now, I would say no, because the Emerald Tablet is about your own sovereign power, the rock. The social mortar is the media. Christianity deals with this media effects, deals with what we're talking about here. The Emerald Tablet is not involved with the social mortar world. It's involved with your godhood. And that, once you have that, you're not subject to social mortar, though you would interact just to be polite. But there is the ongoing evolution of social mortar.
So, and we could use this ground to explain the Emerald Tablets, because it keeps saying, do it over and over again. Make it familiar. Make it part of your... And it's so hard to grasp or... You have no idea what you're doing because we're so far away from that ground, early ground.
So there's two things here. It's a double process. You're developing your own power, so you don't require TV, that kind of entertainment. You can create your own worlds and eat Saturn. But on the other level, you're still not a completely ascended person. So you're engaged in the world of technological clothing and mortar that holds together the sovereign rocks, that's society, and there's always new clothing, new technologies that upset the society. That ongoing clothing process is always being built because there's always new beings who are naive that aren't in their power yet, and they engage in society more than the ascended person does. So there's two parallel tracks. And McLuhan wrote about, there was the Book of Revelation, or the Book of Scripture, and the Book of Nature. The Book of Nature was what became natural philosophy, then science. It was describing the effects of technologies and knowledge, secular knowledge, but always trying to figure out the Book of Revelation, which is what Newton did. You know, he did some secular breakthroughs with the F equals MA and stuff like that, but he was very concerned about the Book of Revelation, trying to figure it out on the Book of Scripture level. And that would be his own divinity he was trying to solve.
Now this
that was
is
a good
massage.
That was, what?
I said, now this is massage.
That's right. I just did an amazing rant. Did you get that, Bill? You just heard wisdom being spewed from my head.
Wisdom being spewed. Scattered across the world, packetized.
That's right. The ending of the meaning of life. Remember the fucking Monty Python guy who spewed in the restaurant? He blew up and vomited all over the place?
Oh, God, don't even start with Monty Python.
Right. They're great.
Just the other day, they're making a comeback with the surviving members.
Oh,
they're
wonderful.
Making a movie?
I didn't read much of it, but the surviving members are trying to put together some kind of a comeback.
Good. There's nothing for them to do. They're dying. They're old. So they have to recover what they do. They're not fucking making mirrors. They're not doing what we're doing. They're not tapped into the new divinity, so they can only replay themselves to give themselves a reason to live for a couple more years.
Yeah, comebacks don't usually work. I mean, a few people have pulled it off, like that old Sinatra-style singer that found a whole new audience with the kids when he was like 75, 80. What the heck?
Mel Torme? Was that Mel Torme?
No.
Tony Bennett.
Bennett, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. But there's Cleese, John Cleese and them. They're working, going to rework the social mortar, not their own divinity. They might be doing it, but they want to work the social divinity for some reason. Yeah. It's like a Lorraine story today. She ran one more time in 96. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That was a good story.
Cool.
It's building out to be quite an archive, Bill.
Yeah, it's entertaining to look at the page. Two blocks of 24.
Where's that? Where do you look?
On your payday page on Achieve. There's
I got to look at that.
Huge blocks of 24 buttons.
Huge blocks of spew.
See, I had another question. Did Carolyn not know that people listen to you guys on the computer online?
Well, she knows that. She knows that.
All right.
Did she say something?
Yeah, yesterday. I think it was when there was confusion over the guests or who was coming or was somebody online. And she made a comment saying, do people listen on the computer? I thought for sure I heard her say that.
Well, I think she understands that, it's not just the people on the phone call. Those are people listening
online.
Sure
she
knows
does.
That. Yeah.
I'm sure she does.
Yeah. Several times more. In fact, again today, it stayed in triple digits pretty much all day.
Triple, that's like over 100.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, right.
So
now
where?
We've got 67 tuned in online at the moment.
And they may be asleep, but their computers are on.
Yeah.
And they're tuned into our thing.
Probably in the zone, but yeah.
Alice fell asleep with her earbuds in the night before last, and she woke up with ringing ears because she slept all night listening to probably the new flowers.
Who did that? Who did this?
Maybe it was Allison. They posted, somebody posted it in the... chat.
Okay.
No, the chat on the Achieve Radio site.
With all that spew, she might have an earache going on.
Well, Bill, you're not helping. You're here helping the spew.
Oh, yeah.
You've come out of the closet.
I figured I better stand by during the dark hours.
Yeah.
She had several people. Rob showed back up, and whoever that is in Idaho, just raise their hand for you, too.
Okay. Where do I click on? I'm at the special Bobathon. Where's the click on for the image of the spew, the two columns? Where's that?
No, your regular payday page on Achieve.
That's your chat that you need.
Oh, I'm looking at the front. I haven't gone into my part. Right. Okay. I'll open the window in a minute, Idaho. Just want to see this.
Then you're advertised on Avalon.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Project Avalon.
Well, it's just running down the right side. It's just huge. It's the normal listing.
Yeah, it's
right?
The normal listing, but there's 24 buttons in each of the last two blocks.
Wow.
Well, okay, the most recent one just has, four in it? Because I would Midnight through 3 archive so far. But, yeah, the two below that just scroll forever.
So we are...
Can Bob
let me,
see...
No, let me say this. So, Bill, so we are... We didn't start at 3. We started at 4. Did that get recorrected, or what's the... get delayed an hour, right?
Yeah, well, the first one is 6 p.m. They list in Pacific time. So.
Oh, yeah, okay. So 6 is at 4, and that is not our chatter. That's the beginning of the show with the music.
Yeah, that was the quote-unquote official start when I started the recordings and everything going.
So from 3 to 4 is the 24th hour. No, 4, well, in your case, 6 to 7.
Well, you've got 48 hours in the two blocks, 52, plus I think it was 7 there, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You're in the 59th hour right now.
Right. So if we start at 6 your time, when I go 24 hours, the 24th hour is from 5 to 6. Then the next 6 is the beginning of the next 24-hour cycle, right? 6 to 7 is one of the next 24-hour.
At 6 p.m. every day, it'll be the beginning of a new 24-hour.
Yeah.
It'll
be the 25th hour.
Yeah, I think I figured out that the halfway point to 122 happened sometime later this morning.
Really?
What was it? It'd be 61 hours and 7 this morning or something like that. That doesn't sound right.
Yeah, well, if it goes till 6 o'clock, which is 4 my time, and I'm at 2, so that's 4, 8, that's 10 hours, and that's after 58 hours. We're into the 59th hour.
Right.
And we only got two more hours.
So, yeah.
Next hour.
At 8 a.m. Pacific time, coming up in a short 4 hours, you will have completed 50% of the proposed task.
Yeah, that went by pretty fast.
Yeah, it's been a good podcast. It's going well, Bob.
Yeah, it is. And the contributions by everybody, every time is unique. You were going to say something, Gene?
I wanted to know if can you see how many people are listening online?
Yeah, I just reported that it's 60 some odd. We got 59 on the MP3 stream and 8 on the OGG stream.
Yeah, my question is, can Bob see them? Can Bob tell how many people are on listening on the computer?
I could send him the link. I don't think he has the page, so.
Yeah, no, I can't. It doesn't matter to me. Bill can report it.
Okay,
got to keep Bill busy monitoring things.
Oh, please.
There's actually probably a few more because we do have a Shoutcast stream, which is kind of like the primary feeder for everything. But there's like 3 or 4 people hang out there from time to time. So there's, 67.
But Matt... Yeah, Matt did not do a good enough publicity spew, or Ginny, because there's no media calling me up. Nobody's aware that I'm doing this yet, right?
Well, somebody's paying attention, because right basically from the jump go, you've exceeded what a normal payday gets by 50% to double or triple.
Right.
So, somebody's paying attention to it. But, where the real trip was is some of these guests, first of all, why the hell were they booked? I think Bert would agree with me on that. He's made comments all through the last couple of days. And second of all...
Who's Bert?
No, Bertrand.
Oh, Bert. Is he making comments on the use of the useless guests?
Oh, he had comments about Hillary's, had comments about Vinny and somebody else, too. I don't remember right now.
Right,
but some of them they had no business being on this particular show. I don't think, other than just to provide contrast and give you somebody to rail against or ignore or tease.
It's the book culture. It's the book world. You know, when you're doing a joint venture, it's like, who do you look for? And you look for people of influence, and who people think they're influencers because they have a book. So yeah. You go on Amazon, you see who's got a book, and then you just go through it, and they're the easiest people to contact. You can do it all through one forum.
Oh yeah, I get 50 emails a week from people hawking their books, wanting to get radio time. But the point being that most of those people have at least some following, and you get them on, and
exactly
their fans
very
tune
powerful.
In. Their fans tune in to listen, and a lot of them will jump ship and say, "Why was I following that idiot?" You know.
You mean the one that came in here is a guest? They're not talking about me. They're talking about the guest.
They'll show up and they'll think you're even more cool than the guy they were following,
right.
and they'll lemming their way on over to Iandom.
Right.
So that's why he did it. I mean, it's standard sales, but still, some of them were, you know, kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah, well, Callie, you know, I was rude in not noticing she was here, and you should have told me, but I didn't. I wasn't looking.
Well,
yeah, I was really excited.
I didn't. It was going so wild. You guys definitely had a. It cracked me up because the one guy was talking about he could feel the drugs through the music, and all of you were on virtual crack right then.
That's right. That was Mark Neufeld, me. And Rob, yeah. And maybe some other people. It was going great, and I was excited about. I knew the Jermaine and her sisters was coming. That was going to be great, and so then we had to fit someone in. So then I hear Allie or Callie. Okay, 4:30. She can go an hour because I knew 5:30, 4:30. I knew that we had an hour with her. But did you hear her talking to me, Bill? Could you hear that?
Oh yeah. What basically I think got her goat is that you said we got a super guest coming up and you can fill in till then, and she was like, well, I should be the super guest. That was her attitude. It was oozing out of her attitude.
Right, but did you hear it? But she first pretended she was cool and said, oh no, I like to be small, right? You know, and it wasn't bitter enough to make it like it seemed like it wasn't a joke. She meant that. Oh, I'd rather be small. I don't want to be a celebrity. That's how I heard it.
Yeah, she was dripping sarcasm, but didn't drip it enough. Yeah,
that's right.
She is funny though. She's done. I did her transmission kind of thing. I've also read. I spent an hour.
What does that mean?
Book.
You did her transmission thing. What the fuck does that mean?
It was basically to induce that kind of sexuality in people, and I woke up in
No. What do your words mean? The transmission thing. Is that the name of her book or something?
No, it's a hypnosis. So she does hypnosis videos. You know, these kind of
kinky hypnosis. Yeah, that transmission? Is that transmission?
Yeah. Well, what she, in the blog post she writes what this hypnosis session is going to do. And I sent you a message saying what happened to me in the morning with my multiple.
You mean she wrote about what she was going to do on our show?
No, in the video.
See, you're explaining fucking transmission thing. The transmission thing.
Well, a transmission is an exchange. You know, it's my gift to you. I'm going to transmit.
My gift to you? What the fuck? Did she write the word transmission?
No.
No. See, that's you putting your stupid fucking subjectivity in the opening words, and you set the thing way off. You're not sticking to the fucking proper nouns about the topic first.
A transmission from an alien race.
Yeah, last night with himself. Okay, the next idea will be a transmission for me. Here it is.
Hey, now, I felt the transmission. Come on.
Who's
it
that?
Was a lucid dream. It was to give lucid dreams. So you go, you're going to go into
give
the session.
Give lucid dreams. Jesus Christ. You talk about fucking tantric sex hypnosis.
I transmissioned.
Who's yelling there? Is that Andrew?
Yes, sorry.
Okay, yeah, calm down, Andrew. Don't let Rob get you fucked up, man. Don't take Rob's side. That's there lie tragedies.
there was an interrupting effect from doing it. So the effect was when I woke up and I went to the toilet. I know I'm always cleaning the dog's piss up, but like literally my urine just shut off and five streams of income going out the thing. And I was like, what is this? So whatever the tantric dream was that I'd had that night, it must have.
Now, wait a minute. Did your penis spew the five streams or your dog did?
No, I did.
Well, Bob, on that note, I got to go fix the transmission in my Ford pickup. I'll see y'all in a bit.
Okay, wait a minute, Bill. Here's the point. Back to me, it'll be fucking rational. Callie, you look at the name Callie is evil. You know, that's the Callie destructive phase. She's putting on destruction.
I don't know.
Sure. You know?
Her PR shot wasn't all that impressive either.
That's right. Yes, we weren't going to mention that.
I thought you might enjoy talking to a sex therapist, or her topic was about sex.
And, I don't know. I wouldn't know. You can't assume anything about myself. The thing is, she said she prepared a statement. I think she was just going to come on and do a monologue and give us a lecture, which would not work.
Well, maybe she was going to hypnotize us. Maybe she was going to do transmission over the line.
Yeah, she should be smart. She says she's a best-selling author. She should try to come back. Well, maybe we're not that significant, but... if I was her, I'd drop it and come back tomorrow. I did say that to her.
I got kind of a kick out of it, though. It might be something to try, but your guests have to be primed. Like with Hillary, I think she thought it was going to be a normal, regular interview where she was going to spew all of her stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not that way, but if... You could,
and we don't even want to warn them. We don't even want to warn them. And we don't want to be limited by time. Things get going. She was going to stay another 10 minutes. She stayed another hour. So you want that spontaneity. So we don't make that rigid rules.
What I learned from that experience was that, you know, she started talking about her friend or someone who was famous in the mainstream media, and she...
Yeah.
Had her revelation, and she left mainstream media, and now she's making a name in alternative media. And I realized that alternative, like you say, pretty soon it's going to be demeaning and belittling to be a part of the mainstream, to have a job in the mainstream. Everybody's
right.
Going to be an alternative. But the alternative media is already over also because we all get bored to death listening.
Yeah,
to these
they've run through all the memes of alternativeness.
Yeah. And they think they're cutting edge and late breaking, and they're still fearing
late breaking. Yeah, they are late breaking. And we're, you know, who was it? Somebody said earlier today, who was speaking? They said, Madeline came on, you know, an hour or so, and said, you know, I realize, Bob, that you're the fucking freakiest of them all. You're too far out for red fucking ice.
You're ahead of the cutting edge.
Right, and I can be respectable. I can. McLuhan's always good to talk about media changes. I can do that in Charlie Rose. He'd find it a bit interesting, you know, hard to understand, but I'd look like I was sane. But I can also do the fringe stuff, and we go further than that. We go further than the fringe ideas. Ion comes up with that. But we can be mainstream, especially with Carolyn.
And now I totally understand. Before the first guest came on, you were commiserating about all the guests that you were going to have.
That's right. Yeah, I knew. I knew the ones that we didn't know would be disasters. Vinny was a bit of a disaster. He's just an idiot, a monologuist. But I'm glad Neufeld liked them and Roth, so that was good.
Yeah.
I listened.
Why isn't Harold here? Because, I mean, it's a massive event, this. There's a big record you're trying to break. Why haven't you brought Harold in?
Harold who? Jenner?
Jenner
is a fucking solipsist. He can't fucking register anything. You know, we called him a couple of 6 months ago. He's ridiculous. Harold has never taken anything in I'm doing. He's all friendly when we talk, and then he gets lost in his projects. He's ridiculous.
Well, you're due to update him. He's busy with his show, isn't it? How long
before? Yeah, he's always been busy with his show since 1973. That's a fact. He's been busy doing his show, preparing it every week. Never had a regular job. Always had some woman supporting him. Several have died through the decade. So it's 40 years now. And he's always saying the same stupid line. He's the same general concept as his punchline. And so I call him up, and he tells me all that he's doing. And I tell him he can't register. He hates New Age mystical stuff. He refuses to acknowledge that.
Well, he's created an amazing platform environment for people.
Yeah,
to...
Yeah, he's got a good archive, but once you know his gig, he actually does lousy interviews because it's always... The first half of the interview is good. He brings out the history of the person. They get to say their ideas. But the second half is always the same argument he has with everybody. And he doesn't explain it. He just throws it at him. Look, I'm the best fucking thing of the 20th century and the 21st century, so let's remember that and not talk about anybody else.
What about Douglas? Well, no, because you had the Evergreens on before, and I did hear your plea to the people.
I played
on,
the Evergreens so on his show. He fucking filmed Seth, and he didn't even know what he filmed. He still doesn't fucking... Every time I explain to him, he goes, Bob, I don't understand that stuff. He can't hear it. He fucking does. Explained it 100 different ways, real simple. What's going on? He says, Bob, I'm a scientist. So, you know, we don't recognize that stuff. That's what he says every time.
But he spoke to Douglas Rushkoff, so he must he was able to communicate. And I'm is it that what was
able
what was
to communicate? Yeah, he can speak English. Yes, Harold does do English.
No, what was the Leary connection with you went did Evergreens went from Leary to Douglas? Was that some
no
theoretical?
It was a newspaper article. Listen, yeah. Newspaper article on the FBI. This is in September '99.
Oh, geez.
They announced that Leary fucking snitched in jail. And Rushkoff, who was appointed as something of the estate, he's a longtime friend, he says, well, wait a minute, why didn't they arrest him, charge him back then? And the Evergreen said it was a good question. So I quoted, I knew Rushkoff when that happened in 99. I met Rushkoff in 98. And so I'm quoting Rushkoff objecting to what the FBI did. They faked the files, and the Evergreens agreed with Rushkoff. And it has nothing to do with mysticism or anything, Rob. That's what happened.
Right. Yeah,
now Rushkoff gets on Harold Channer, and he gets on Harold Channer and he says, I don't agree with Bob. And, like, you know, what? He doesn't even know what I say.
Oh, did he mention you on the show? I don't remember that. I've heard it a couple of times. He's talking about his
back
book
in the mid-90s,
and his code. And...
In the mid-90s, he's, well, maybe it's early 2002. No, yeah.
Is he a cryptologist, Bob? Is he a cryptologist?
I don't know. He's a writer, and he comes up with the trendy stuff and writes his books. And he says, I was on a panel with him in 98, and he passed a note to Mark Stallman saying that I was a schizophrenic, and that was that. And then 10 years later, he said I was a genius and a schizophrenic. So he softened.
You tattooed imprint on him. Yeah,
and he said some other things, and every now and then he'll email me and want my advice, and then... I'll attempt to do the phone thing with him, and then he flakes out. So I think he's very ambivalent, as they all are about me, and they should be.
Yeah. Crypto-proctologist, maybe?
Yeah, isn't that Robert Guffey?
Robert Guffey, yeah. So he's a naval guy who did the Navy with the...
Who? No, not Guffey.
Who was the naval guy that you had like a text interview on your chart? He's a Navy guy. He came on before David and Bob.
Navy guy.
David Worcester and Bob Carr.
Yeah, so there'd be a name before that and Navy guy.
Yeah, he's quite high up in the naval.
You mean Harold Whittier? Harold Whittier?
Yeah, there was no interview with him. It was just a written text of what he'd prepared, and it was from the 40s or something.
Yeah, that's Harold Whittier. He's the English professor at Dalhousie in Halifax, and there's a great interview. I got to him before he died of cancer, and we had a great interview. That's worth listening to. He's a very great guy.
Oh, that's a shame. So he's another good person who's been bitten by the cancer thing. You know about the Vinnie Jones? Did you get the flash message you sent in a couple of days ago?
No, who's Vinnie Jones?
Oh, Vinnie Jones is that big English actor. He's very hard-faced, tough nut to crack. You know, he's a really tough guy. He's just been diagnosed, and his new partner, they've both got cancer, so...
Is he gay?
No.
Oh,
it's quite
okay.
The opposite. No.
That's the way you said new partner. So, no, I never heard of him. I'm not up on British entertainment.
I'm trying to think of a film that...
You
so
know, Russell
different...
Brand... Russell Brand is a big deal, right? He,
yeah.
He, like, supports Psyche.
Well, he did the, he was in Sedona, so he was in the tents, you know, the Indian tents in Sedona about 2 years ago, and he did really well. He managed to convey their message, you know. Whenever he meets anybody, he thinks, like, who are these people, and let's get there. He thinks about, you know, like yourself, when you're talking to somebody, you really get, you drill down in what they're doing to help them focus, you know. But he's a very good writer.
He's naturally curious.
Yeah, I think he's actually, like Robbie Williams and people like that, they travel out to these places, whether it's the, you know, the these different places in America and Arizona and stuff, and they live the life. So they'll live there, they'll buy a house there, and they'll live there for a bit, you know?
Yeah. Well, the big mystery is, you know, why aren't people digging Ion on a bigger scale, and why aren't they digging me in a bigger scale?
But, Bob, do you really want to be that popular?
No, not no, we don't. But they still should be trying to make us that way.
I think you've evoked your own mystery landscape, Bob, so it's of your own creation.
Yeah, I don't realize how bizarre I am.
Bob, you don't want to be a sensation, remember? You don't want a big one.
That's right. But I
mentioned it in that audio before.
Well, I've created a great buffer around me, because anybody who's reasonably intelligent would look at myself, well, this stuff is different. I should find out what this guy's talking about.
Yeah, but we have to get over everything else that keeps everybody away first.
That's right. They're essential block stupidity, subjective solipsism, their phoniness is keeps them away.
Yep.
Yep.
There are times when we say, okay, I'll come back later and see how it's going.
Yeah, Stevie's still here. You know, when I'm about 150, man, that's when the people, yeah, well, he's still fucking here. I guess we're going to have to go over and put up with his spittle.
I think a lot of people have definitely found one thing out of your whole chart, which is everything. And rather than try and connect the dots, like David Icke would say, they just take one part of it and go, this is massive, just this small fraction of it,
right.
From microcosm of what it is, and that's enough for somebody to, they could spend their whole life doing that.
Yeah, I'll take that. That's a good description.
And they know that, you know, I think you have tattooed yourself on people in that way.
Yeah.
And then we have to put up with your abuse on top of it.
Yes, it's pleasant abuse. It's not fucking abuse. I mean, I'm justified to get Rob on when he says transmission, opens the topic, and he won't say what it is, and it's really not relevant. I'm justified to get tense with him.
Oh, I get it.
I felt it.
I totally get it.
I'd enjoy some fucking abuse here. Where is it?
But I missed that. You said, what did you say? You're too muffled.
Where's the fucking abuse here?
Yeah, where is it? There isn't any. It's just a fucking passion. Yeah, where's the... you came for the juice. All I got was a T-shirt. No, here's what we'll play. I told Hillary that I found the Voynich stuff, and she wrote back, sent it to me. So let's play it. It's March 9th, 2011. And I've got to find, just a minute, look up the list. And we'll play this, see what Ion says about the Voynich manuscript.
Can I ask you a question, Bob, about the Emerald Tablet, just really quick?
Yeah.
Because I know you've been watching a lot of TV shows lately. Is there any popular TV show that's going on about the Emerald? Because someone said to me the other day, it's like, oh, you know about the Emerald Tablets. It's like some elite knowledge or something. Because I wrote about it on that Trash Robot post, you know, obviously evoked by Carly as well. But it's heavy metal. It was just purely from your, you know, from Carolyn's talking about heavy metals in the body that led on to that film that I reviewed.
So what do you
And
have
then
you?
This, my friend Mark Joyner, I spoke to him on Skype, you know, what a guy, he's such a top marketer, he's so successful behind the scenes of the history of this market and stuff, and he goes, you know about the Emerald Tablets on Google Plus to me, and I was like, I don't know anything, I just heard it on so I sent him to you on Facebook. That's why I said there's Bob Dobbs there,
right?
But I think people don't understand, you know, so there's so many parts, pieces to a jigsaw puzzle that I can make connections.
You don't know how it's astounding, you know, it's always been a mystery, and all of a sudden it's been explained. You know, Dan Winter or Alan Stein, all these guys should be amazed at just the Emerald Tablets.
Is it some kind of common elite knowledge, then? The answer to that is yes.
No, it's a common ignorance. The Aleister Crowley kind of people would say, oh, yeah, I cracked a tablet, and you talk about just one. But the thing is, it's elite because nobody knows what it is.
Oh, there you go. Aleister Crowley. I remember hearing something that was very profound from him, and that was, what the hell was it? It was do what thou wilt.
Yeah. Yes, we know about that.
All right, back to my brown powdery liquor here. Wait.
Yes. Okay, I'm looking up the time. So Voynich is at 38 minutes and then 43 minutes. So let's listen to it. 38 minutes. We will have to put up with James' voice first.
Participant who called in, we call point of contact. Okay, James,
Bard would have a great fun blogging on that one, wouldn't he, Bob?
Bard, yes. Bard is our new member. He is, if these images of questions that we get on our screen, James, you know, this incoming in-quick message board with all this nicely laid out questions, you know, we have thousands of them, you could say. I've been posting, gathering, and posting on Dupes Non-Physical, so anybody with access to Dupes Non-Physical, go and see the actual way we, James and I, see the questions since last February, including, that's February 2010, including how Ron would present his questions. It was hilarious when Ron would do his rants, right, James? Remember that? You can actually see them.
Yeah, that's right.
Bard would have a great fun blogging on that one, wouldn't he, Bob?
Bard, yes. Bard is our new member. He is quite verbose and finger itchy. He types a lot and he says a lot, and we hardly have a chance to even read it all. But he'll learn.
Now, that's just Bob. You'll have to get Bob will treat you so many ways like you're bound to like. All right. Nobody heard.
That's right. Now, here's a question from maybe it was King Maverick. I'm not sure. But it came up over an alt.slack. University of Arizona researchers have cracked one of the puzzles surrounding what's been called the world's most mysterious manuscript, the Voynich manuscript, a book filled with drawings and writings nobody's been able to make sense of to this day. Using radiocarbon dating, a team led by Greg Hudgens in the University of Arizona's Department of Physics has found the manuscript's parchment pages date back to the early 15th century, making the book a century older than scholars had previously thought. Now, I assume, Ion, that you're going to make fun of them even fitting this in time, but could you tell us a bit about the Voynich manuscript, what we missed on this?
It's actually a little older than that, but it was transcribed from Sumeria.
Ah, the original nice place that happened for the first phases of fallen man, right?
Two. That goes all the way back to Sheila's art question a week or so ago, calculating perspective in an infinity field. That's the same thing here. And if you, as an artist, can capture that, then it becomes a logical progression of why Charlemagne would even be interested anyway.
Right. Now, you got any question with the Voynich manuscript as I bring it up? It says, experts determine age of book nobody can read. That's the headline of the article. Why can't we read it?
Why?
No, that's just for the little people. The people listening to the show.
Okay. So everybody listen up. This is how you can take this ended. You engage your questions in nebulous bottomless pits that you can't get an answer to, and then you can feel bad because you're screwed. But beyond that, it becomes no different. They say the
Exactly. As a matter of fact, there's the Book of Kells and a couple other famous manuscripts that were found from the Middle Ages in Irish history, the Irish Museum collecting that Joyce was either playing off, satirizing, or whatever. But yes, Joyce was making a book unreadable because he understood the shift. He was trying to show exactly what I was describing about the effect of the TV screen. He was trying to make the book page have the aspects of electronic media, of light through rather than light on. That's what he was doing. Now, I'm assuming Voynich, Mr. Voynich, who did this strange manuscript, was not looking at the effects of the letters he was using. He was presenting content, whatever this content is in the Voynich manuscript. Comment on that? No comment.
Wonderful, yummy, delicious.
Okay, this tome.
Give intention to it as a marvelous creator, and then it can be unfolded for you.
Without knowing anything?
No, by knowing everything.
Then you know what the book means.
Then you won't have to read it.
Good point. Excuse me. This tome, the Voynich manuscript, makes the Da Vinci Code, says this article, look downright lackluster. Rows of text scrawled on visibly aged parchment, flowing around intricately drawn illustrations depicting plants, astronomical charts, and human figures bathing in perhaps the fountain of youth. At first glance, the Voynich manuscript appears to be reflecting. So this book is literally a visualization of life in Sumeria?
Well, no, it's a map when the old grid was in place. When you had the old grid, it was the markers that they used to prescribe latitude, longitude within a geographic space of traveling from space to space inside and outside of ancient Sumeria.
And they weren't using a book frame for their sense of space that they moved
through. This was the translation after the fact, you see.
After the effect of letters? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Ah.
Of course, because it's the whole point. It's kind of like there wasn't somebody there with an IBM Selectric at the Last Supper typing who said what and who was doing what. It was later they decided this is really important, Les Carolyn said. Let's capture this picture in time and write it down. Then that means that there's boundaries, parameters. The only thing it was what was written. And they get tangled up with that even within the scriptures to say that all it is God's word. Okay? Well, we say that, but that we don't limit it to a version of the scriptures. Isn't it interesting that the word of God then becomes segregated in version? God's word, a version.
Yeah, did I hear you say the phrase, the last Carolyn?
Like Carolyn was speaking about the encapsulation of the reference point she was making earlier.
Right, okay, so they quote a man named Hudgens, an assistant research scientist and assistant professor in the University of Arizona Department of Physics with a joint appointment at the University of Arizona School of Anthropology. He's fascinated with the manuscript. Here's his statement.
Yeah.
He goes, is it a code, a cipher of some kind? People,
a cipher, hidden right before our very eyes.
Playfer.
Why has it not been recorded in history up until now? How was this parchment that they took paper from way back then and brought it forth to all right now so that the new systems could then be applied to technology that we know now? How can it lay out all those details? And you're sitting here going, wait a second. Right, Ion, there is no time, because if there is time, where has this been in the process?
Right, and just for the record, Playfer cipher, PLAYFER, look it up, interesting cryptanalysis technique or something. People are doing statistics.
For the CSA.
The CSA, that's Community Service Organizations?
No.
What's the CSA?
Confederate States of America.
Ah, the guy who won.
Two.
That's right, in the North. Winning. The North always thought they won. They didn't know the South won. Hudgens says, people are doing statistical analysis of letter use and word use, the tools that have been used for code breaking, but they still haven't figured it out. Now, what are you saying, Ion, that would give them a break in trying to figure it out?
That there's no code to break.
It is just what it is.
It's to connect, not to break.
Okay.
Code to connect, not a code to break. there's lots of things you human creators engage actively every day that you don't know what the hell is either. So that's not too weird for us.
Are you saying you connect with an experience that's not limited to the space contained by the manuscript? You connect in yourself with your own powers? Is that what you're talking about? Or you're... Whether, and then...
A good place to start.
So that you don't require the book.
Correct.
Then you can enjoy the book.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Very good. Once you find out what the Word of God is, you don't have to carry it around.
Oscar Wilde used to say that youth was wasted on the young. Experience is wasted on the little people.
Or the good Yiddish phrase would be, such a good living a poor man could make if he could figure out how to die for a rich man.
You got that, Kim?
Yeah.
That didn't sound real, Kim.
It's okay.
You were laughing sincerely?
Uh-huh.
Okay. It comes
such
through in the radio.
Such a good living, if you're poor and you want to be rich, such a good living a poor man could make if he could find out how to die in the place of the rich.
You getting that, James?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Everybody's getting it? Barbara, I think that if there's anybody getting more questions with the Voynich manuscript, then add to what we've done. I'll move on to other lingering emails from February 16th. Barbara said, Ion, can we avoid inflation?
But you, the same way you can avoid ascension, yes.
So inflation would be an experience not worth resisting.
Inflation has to do with perspective of altitude, doesn't it? Well, if you don't know what it is, how do you know what inflation even is judged by?
Okay, Janet, spelled J-A-N-E-T-T, J-A-N-E-T-T from the UK, asked two questions almost a month ago.
Bob, I think you're muted.
Sorry. Can you hear me, Bill? Even when I'm muted?
No, it was...
No.
Excuse me, dead air.
Right, so what I was saying is that Gene is gone. We've just got Andrew, Denny, and probably Michael or Sarah out in Gummo Land. No, hardly anybody here. No one's talking. So we will go on to the next Evergreens. But... 2:52, we got to go to the top of the hour, so I'm going to play some music. And you don't have to shift anything, do you, Bill, for music to be played? It just goes right out.
Yeah, it's turned on continuous, yeah.
Right, I don't have to, if I play music, I say, okay, I'm going to go, come on, and start talking in 2 minutes or 1 minute. I actually don't have to tell you that. It's ready to go, right?
Yeah, it's ready to go all the time, unless for some reason I have to mute it, but...
Right.
That's never happened that I can remember.
Once it goes into the... Okay, we're on the show ends, it goes into the commercials after the Zappa music. We cannot speak, we cannot speak and be overheard on the station, right?
Well, normally not. Normally, on a regular payday, when you wrap up and we play that little Zappa cut, I punch all the buttons off. You know, mute everything, and so
right. So
that's
we're
correct.
Often muted.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go play some music. Where's the green page? Okay, so this could be good. What could we do? I'm going to go over to list three. I made a new list, didn't I? I think there's. Things in there that okay, this is a good one. Mm-hmm. Just want to say that was awesome. What a great song. And we'll just move down here, try to find another song. What is it? What do you think? This guy's pretty good. Omar Kayrat, Egyptian Music.
Supplies are running out. Hurry now.
I've been on the RNA drops for 3 days. I can't stop having orgasms.
So good. www.rnafreeme.com. That's www.rnafreemini.com. Get a piece of the action now.
You dumb motherfucker, you giving away all the free shit? Stop telling them to get the free action now.
Every Chevy do a bomb, do baby do a. Every Chevy do a bomb, baby do a. Every Chevy.